Address of the President at Spokane, Washington, 1 October, 1952.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Senator Magnuson? Governor Mitchell? Distinguished guests and ladies and gentlemen, I've been looking forward to this evening. I've been coming to the state of Washington for a good many years. I know of no better place to get an idea of what the word progress means. I like what I see here in this state, and I like what I see here in this auditorium, too. I like thriving farms and busy industries, the happy and prosperous people. I like to think of the immense advances you have achieved out here in a few short years. I want you to continue those advances, and that's why I'm asking you to vote this year for a Democratic president and vice president to carry on the policies that will continue your prosperity. I'm asking you to vote for Adlai Stevenson and John Sparkman. And you can't make a mistake if you do that. These men are dedicated to the programs that have made us strong and prosperous. They are devoted to the cause of the people. They are devoted to world peace. And I'm asking you to vote for the Democratic candidates in your state for governor and senator and for Congress. In your own interest, vote the whole Democratic ticket. It's an all-star ticket this year. You have an unusually able candidate for governor, Hugh Mitchell. As senator and congressman, he has done a lot for your state already, and he's won the respect of everybody in Washington, D.C. You have one of the best legislators I know running for the Senate in Scoop Jackson. He's a real leader of the liberal forces in the House of Representatives. In experience and ability, he stands at the top. In Don Magnuson, you have a man who's already proved he will work and sacrifice for the cause of justice and humanity. And by the way, that name, Magnuson, already stands for something fine and progressive in the United States Senate. You have another progressive candidate who understands the needs and problems of this area, in Robert DelWall. Now you have an excellent state ticket from top to bottom. And along with the national ticket, I just don't see how you can do anything else but vote the Democratic ticket. Vote to put this all-star team at work and back up Adlai Stevenson and John Sparkman in their fight for your prosperity and welfare. Now I want to talk to you about that prosperity and what the government has to do with it. Your prosperity out here is an example of what is happening throughout the whole country. Everywhere, people are in better housed, better fed, better clothed, and enjoying more leisure than ever before. Everywhere, the people are busily at work, contributing to the nation's strength and welfare. The only people who don't take any satisfaction in the nation's well-being are the Republican politicians. They say that none of it is real. They say it's just a reflection in a mirror, and that you're not prosperous at all, and you haven't got what you've got, so it's gone somewhere else. You're in a bad fix, and you ought to vote the Republican ticket. If you believe that, you ought to have your head examined. You've heard these doubting Thomases and false prophets before. They're the same fellows who called your Grand Coulee development a useless pyramid and said it was a power in the desert. They're the same people who said back in 1936, up in the Grand Coulee country, there's no one to sell power to except the coyotes and the jackrabbits, and there never will be. My, how much crow they've had to eat. And I'm still feeding it to them. Today they're talking the same way about our country's economy. They can't see any future in it. Their attack is aimed especially at me. And I'm going to answer them. And believe me, I'll enjoy it. And I don't think they will. My administration's been criticized for a lot of things. And some of it may be justified, but I doubt it. In one respect, however, I will yield to no administration in the history of the country. And that is the way we have created the basis of sound prosperity for all the people. All the people, not just a few. It has been my guiding principle that this country can be true to its promise and lead the world to freedom and peace only if it has continued and wide prosperity at home. In his Chicago acceptance speech, the Republican candidate for president paid an unconscious tribute to the Democratic Party. He said, and I quote, "We are now at the moment in history when under God this nation of ours has become the mightiest temporal power and the mightiest spiritual force on earth." I couldn't have put that as eloquently myself. It is a truthful description of America after 20 years of the Democratic administration. The Republican said that before the special interest groups got control of him. He isn't talking like that. Now he's seen Taft. Now that the snollygusters have taken over, they're hearing other kinds of talk. The words have an old familiar ring. They've been served up to frighten people in every presidential election that I can remember. Words like government deficits and national bankruptcy are the favorites again. Stale Republican lies, just as usual. The truth is that during the past six fiscal years, which ended on June 30th this year, the government has more than paid its way. We have produced a budget surplus of nearly $4 billion, and we've reduced the public debt. Now, a lot of you may be surprised, but that's true. You'd never guess it by reading the papers, especially if you read that second worst paper in the United States, the Spokesman Review. That paper never told the truth in politics in its life, and it wouldn't know the truth if it met it coming down the road. I'm afraid that the future historians will have something to say about Harry Truman, and one of the things is he's one of those old-fashioned fellas that believes in balancing the budget, but you never saw that in your hometown paper. Now here's something else the snollygusters are talking about. They're saying taxes are too high, that they're destroying us, and that we can't afford our defense program. The answer to that's very simple. If we really want to destroy ourselves, the way to do it is to encourage the aggressors to think that we cannot afford what it takes to stop them. Can you imagine a greater invitation to the Kremlin than to announce that we can't pay for more and then so much national defense? That's the craziest idea I ever heard of. Our taxes are high because that is what it takes to make us strong and to build our defenses. We could have taken the easy road and done nothing about Korea. That would have been nice and cheap and fatal. We could have taken another easy road, too, and tried to build defenses without taxes. That would have meant going into debt for our defense and inviting runaway inflation. That wasn't my way of doing it. I've always believed in paying for what I get. And when we decide to pay as we go, we again could have taken the easy road and slapped the costs on the little fellow by using a general sales tax. That's what a lot of Republicans wanted to do. Instead, we did the decent American thing. We spread these costs through income and profits taxes in accordance with ability to pay. The cost of defense comes high. Modern military equipment is expensive. A fighter plane now costs more than a bomber did in the Second World War. And the modern up-to-date bomber costs as much as a battleship did in the Second World War. The Republicans know, but don't bother to tell you, that in our present $79 billion federal budget, civilian activities cost less than $10 billion, and that we have kept them down to that, below that figure for over 4 years. They don't tell you that. They don't tell you that. More than 75% of the federal budget goes for the payment of past wars and to keep us out of an anticipated Third World War. This $10 billion pays for everything your government is spending for all civilian activities, from the largest to the smallest. To put it another way, this $10 billion is less than 4% of the present income of the American people. This 4% is all that we would save if we stopped every federal activity that's not related to national security. Yet these fellows who want to misrepresent the facts will tell you that the budget can be balanced from the civilian expenditure, and it's just a damn lie. We could save another by refusing to take care of the veterans and by reneging on the public debt. You know we can't do that, and they know we can't do it too. All the rest of our tax bill goes to pay for defense. And to say that you can cut our defense expenditures $10 or $20 billion next year is just sheer poppycock of the lowest demagoguery kind. I also hear a lot of talk about taxes being so high that they're driving business to the wall and killing incentives. The truth, which they don't tell you, is that business profits, even after taxes, are almost quadrupled in the past 12 years. Never has America had so many new businesses and so much incentive to expand and invest.